Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 330, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, joined as usual by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Kirk, man, this is last notice, but we got royalty on this thing. The NCAA tournament is upon us, and we got a man that knows a little bit about UT. And depending on who you ask, which UT, it doesn't matter. It's Rick Barnes, Longhorn coaching legend and the current coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, who play St. Peter's in their opener in Charlotte. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. Good to be with you guys. I miss you.
You too. Miss you too. Boy, a tournament never gets old, does it? Gets the juices going.
Kurt, I tell my guys, the first thing I tell them once we have been fortunate to get there and blessed, I tell them, I say, you don't ever take it for granted, because it's hard, and it's gotten even harder now. And you think about this, we just came out of a league where we won it. We're going into the last week. There was a possibility of having a five-way tie for first place. And but we ended up winning it, and then four teams tied for second, you know, one game behind us. And so we've had a great year. Our non-league schedule was good, but it's hard to believe March Madness is here.
It's here, all right. And you drew St. Peter's. St. Peter's was a giant killer just a couple of years ago, beating Kentucky, beating Purdue, getting the Elite Eight. Tell us what all you know about the Peacocks.
Well, we know what you know about a team from in the Northeast. Are very tough. They're aggressive. They're going to build. I think their motto is tough is not enough. And if you watch them play, that's what they do. They've got some good players. They wouldn't be playing this time of year. They play a slower style. They will take as much time as they need to get the ball up the court, and they're going to try to spread you out a little bit, try to drive you. Very much an inside-oriented team. Have had games like everybody where they've made some threes, but they really want to get into the lane, really high-percentage shots, and get on the offensive glass.
You know, you mentioned Northeast, and, I mean – That's horrible that you say that, because there's no way you have any experience dealing with teams from the Northeast. I mean, in your storied career, I read Dana O'Neill's great book on the Big East, and you're all over that book. That's old school basketball, and does that kind of get your blood pumping a little bit, knowing that you're in for a physical tussle like the old days?
Yeah. Yeah, so I like it. I don't mind it. And you know what? I will tell you this. You know, we know the Big East didn't get many teams in this year, but I tell you this. I thought they had the most physical league in college basketball this year. When I watched games, that was there. But that's a Northeast style of basketball. When you really think about it, every league up there, they have good players. And what you have to admire about the teams, like we're playing St. Pete, I mean, those guys on that team, they want to be at the highest level too. And if they're at St. Pete, they're there to prove something. And there's, you know, one of the players on the team, I understand, went up for paid his own way to go up for a tryout and told the coach, I'm not leaving until you give me a scholarship. And when you got a mentality like that, that's more impressive than anything you can really throw out there, when you got guys with that kind of mindset. And you get that from teams in the Northeast, but I can tell you, this St. Pete team, there's guys on this team that was on the team you mentioned, Kurt. So they've been there. They've been able to witness. And so there's no doubt they're coming into this game knowing that they have just as good a chance as anybody.
And your point guard, Zach Ziegler, he's pretty familiar with this team, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, you got a half brother on the team that a little bit bigger. You know, I asked Zakai, I said, who wins those games? He said, Coach, come on now. You know he's not going to beat me, but his brother's different. His brother's 6'3", and built differently, but a good basketball player, really does a good job driving the ball.
You couldn't get him to come too? Is the guy not that good a recruiter?
Well, no. We couldn't at the time, but, you know, I just hope it doesn't bite us.
Man, I hear that. Elephant in the room, Rick. I know one game at a time, sweet Jesus. I know how we do it. But if Texas wins and Tennessee wins, then there's a Texas-Tennessee second-round bonanza. Rick Barnes v. his former assistant, Rodney Terry, his other assistants, Chris Ogden, Frank Haith.
Everybody.
And everybody. We were joking with Brock Cunningham that he played for you too, but he wouldn't come clean on that. He's been around for how many times have you been asked about that this week?
Really, you know how CBS comes in and they have somebody following every team. Just one time, really, but the thing I'm going to find out is I'm going to see where YouTube loyalties lie, you know? And
we love you.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is we are close. You know, I talk to those guys throughout the year, and they are my guys. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But you know what? When that bracket, when it came up, we were in Charlotte, I fully, in my own mind, said somewhere close here, it's going to either be Clemson or Texas. Just the way, just like they just sent our girls to play, our women's team to play down at NC State where Kelly Harper used to coach. You know, I mean,
they do that.
I don't know, by just my time in it, you just kind of expect it, you know.
They love doing that. They love doing that. What kind of emotions will that trigger in you if it happens in the second game?
You know what? Honestly, Kurt, I don't, right now, I can't even think about it because of, you know, what I know about this tournament. I mean, the hardest thing in this tournament is getting started, and we've got to do that. I mean, we can't. I haven't even thought about anything other than I do know that I think Colorado State and Virginia play. If I'm right, I think they play the last game tonight. I think, and but I can't let myself go there in terms of I just got to think about today. Everything we did in practice today was solely locked in on St. Pete and Peters, and we've got to keep that mindset.
But do you at least have one good story on Rodney Terry? You got to have one good story or anecdote.
The first time we went recruiting, we'd gone to grab something to eat. And, you know, me, I eat quick, and I was done with my meal, and he was about not even a third of the way through. I said, man, what are you doing? He said, well, my mother taught me to chew 120 bites. I said, well, you better get something to go, because I said, I'm getting ready to leave. But I always loved being with Rodney, you know, and Rodney came, you know, he was young and he had a year before, I think he had a chance to go to Oklahoma, but he always wanted to come to Texas. And Frank Haith asked me about it. I said, you know what? I have a great relationship with Calvin Sampson. And I said, if Rodney goes there, I would never think of trying to hire somebody off Calvin's staff because of my respect for Calvin. And Rodney decided, I think, not to do it. And obviously we hired him, I think a year later.
Some glorious seasons at Texas. I don't know if there's one memory stands out or not.
Yeah, and 2003 Final Four. We see TJ Ford around. He's hanging around, and he's always mentioning you. And I know this is feeling like a memory lane thing, and you're going to be going to war tomorrow. When you think about the years that you spend here and winning 402 games and that magical 03 season, getting Kevin Durant here, I know you've got coaching to do, but do you ever stop and think about how much freaking fun that was living here and bringing some special times to Austin?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that'll always be a part of me, and I love my time there, and was blessed to have a chance to coach so many terrific players. And Kurt mentioned a memory. I mean, this time of year, I mean, I'll never forget the night we went to the Final Four and we won the regional down in San Antonio. And TJ hugged me after the game. And I remember him screaming in my face, we're going to the Final Four. We're going to the Final Four. And Tom Izzo, who's a dear friend of mine for 45 years, just stood right there, didn't leave. And, you know, how it is, when you lose a game, you're ready to get out of there. But Tom stood there with a smile on his face and waited to shake my hand and said, hey, enjoy it, pulling for you. And that's a memory, obviously, but there's a lot, you know, I mean, we could talk about KD and some of the things he did through the years, but so many other guys, but I enjoyed my time there, and I really appreciate that, you know, when I went there, DeLoss Dodge told me they were going to make a commitment to basketball, and I do think they worked at it. I do. I think, you know, the Irwin Center was a difficult place to fill up. There was times, you know, when KD played where we didn't have the house as full as we'd like to, but still, I have nothing but great memories of the University of Texas and Austin.
And you've been in the SEC for a good while now. Is there one major difference between the Big 12 and the SEC in your mind?
Well, our league has changed so much in 9 years, Kirk. I mean, you go back to where we were, and when we started here, there was a lot of work to be done in basketball. You go back 9 years ago, everything in this league was going pretty strong except men's basketball. Mm-hmm. And we've always had great coaches in this league. I think that the biggest difference now is the commitment has come from the very top where they really want – I think athletic directors are seeing what basketball can do, and I've watched almost every – facility in this league change in terms of, you know, we have some big arenas. I mean, you know, you talk about us in Kentucky that, you know, we get 21, 6, 7, 8 every night during the conference season, and Kentucky's got their place. But, you know, some of them have gone to smaller buildings that like in the Big 12. But the excitement with the fans has really started to build. It's come from the commitment from the administrations.
And tell us about Dalton Knecht. How dynamic and how good a player is he?
Well, you know, we obviously didn't know that was coming when we got him, you know. And the fact is he really came in. And then you start hearing stories about him during the summer because Jemima Meshack and he getting at it pretty good. But, you know, once you get into preseason, we're going. And until we went to scrimmage Michigan State, in an exhibition game that we ended up doing for the Maui Classic, and they sold the building out, and he did some things in that game that we hadn't seen. And then from there, he just kind of took off. And then we had a really demanding schedule early against, you know, playing Wisconsin, Kansas, Purdue, Illinois. You just saw it building. And but for him to get where he is today, I think he made every All-American team. And mm-hmm. I wish I would have known it was coming. I probably would have had a better off season, you know, but he's been special. He's very humble, very simple. And I say that in the kindest of ways where he strictly wants to play basketball, nothing else, but he's handled everything pretty well. Cause again, he didn't expect this either. He just wanted to, he actually told us, I want to go to a place where I can get to the NCAA tournament and help a team win. And I want to get better. And he's done all that.
Yeah.
You guys won the regular season, but are entering the tournament with a couple of losses, including quarterfinal loss to Mississippi State. What are your concerns about that? Because I know we've talked to you in the past, and you always want to enter the big dance on a little bit of a momentum streak.
Well, you know what, we were too emotional senior night playing at Kentucky. You know, we clinched the regular season. You know, the game prior to that in Columbia, South Carolina, came home and our guys played hard but we were too emotional early in the game and it was what it was. And Kentucky's a terrific team, believe me. They could beat anybody in this tournament.
They're good.
And then we went and played Mississippi State, who was very aggressive. And you know what, we played, I thought, our two worst halves of the year this year. We played a bad half at North Carolina, and we played the poorest half all year against Mississippi State. And that's not to take away anything from Mississippi State, because they did what they had to do. But you know what? I can't tell you how many texts I've gotten from people that said, hey, you know, the last time you guys went to the Final Four, you guys, you know, got beat in the first round of your conference tournament. And but you look around, every team in the Power Five that won the regular season got beat in their conference yeah. tournament, except Connecticut, who won their conference by four games.
Right.
And so – you know, that's conference tournaments, but now I'm just hoping, and I got so much respect for our league that we haven't beaten each other up too much, because the last four weeks of our league was brutal for everybody that's in this tournament.
That can wear you out. Well, last question I got for you, Rick, before we let you go. This seems to be one of your best balanced teams. I don't know where you would rank it in terms of most talented team, but your team is balanced.
It is, and it is balanced, Kurt. We got to get back to where we're using the balance. I mean, we need more from our post players in this tournament, but we need consistency. And we haven't shot the ball well the last couple weeks. We need to get back to making some shots. But I say that, but we, you know, there's halves that we'll put up 52 and then we'll go into a lull, which we, that's what we got to stay away from if we want to do what we want to do in this tournament.
Well, Rick, man, we cannot begin to thank you for, man. I mean, famous people don't do that, but you did it for the fellas, and we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Kirk Bowles knows all the nice old people in the league, and you're about the same age. I'm gonna end with this, and I know it's not great. When I realized that Rick Barnes loved Kirk Bowles, we're in the office, and Kirk gets a text from Rick Barnes and says, "Hey, you got to get your prostate checked. I just got my prostate checked. And you better go get yours checked because that's important." I go, "He loves you." And Kirk goes, "He does. I think he does." And many prostate exams later, here we still are.
Yeah. Well, I do love you guys, and I appreciate you guys being a big part of my life. And I thank the good Lord for bringing all of our lives together, and hope we got a lot of years left to talk about it.
Yes,
well,
sir.
You're the best.
Good luck, my friend. We will see you in the tournament. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Love you guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
He's a legend, and Ducky didn't have to do this interview. He's got bigger fish to fry than a podcast. And he thought enough of us to come on. Salt of the earth. Good man. Good man.
He's just so genuine and authentic, you know. He loves people, you know, and you know, we get to be cynical about, you know, coaches and administrators and stuff like that, but you know, I mean, I've known Rick like 27, 28 years, you know.
And you've written critically about Rick. Yeah. You've been there for some of his worst moments and his best. You called it like you saw it, and he understood that the game is the game. Journalism is journalism. Basketball is basketball. And he never held a grudge. We've covered some coaches that see them now. They look at us like, "Oh, what do you want?" Right. You know what I'm talking about. But Rick Barnes was never that way.
And for him, like you said, for him to come on with like an hour notice, you know, he's already in Charlotte. You know, he's got a game with St. Peter's, you know, coming up that he's got to get ready for. And our hat's off to him. And you know, I know we're supposed to be unemotional and detached and everything like that, but you know, but if you can write critical things, but you're honest and you're direct, and fair, definitely, yeah. Rick's as good as they come.
Oh, and by the time you guys are listening to this, the game is Thursday, so tonight. But this is a Tuesday. We interviewed Rick on a Tuesday, when you know he's getting ready and watching game film and preparing for the biggest game of the year, yet he saw time to give us 20 minutes. And that's what we love about this podcast. There are good people out there that respect us enough to come on and share their thoughts with you. And this is one of the highlights of my basketball season. It was cool.
Yeah, we're just super grateful. And
we're not done, Duck. Let's get to our next guest.
Let's do it.
On Second Thought.
Duck, we have royalty amongst us. I'm going to try to do this right. I'm going to do it like the guy on LHN, since this is an LHN star. She was a power forward for the 1986 national champions that went 34-0. This All-American also won Olympic gold, and she is a favorite of Longhorn fans everywhere. She is Andrea Lord, a Longhorn legend. How'd I do, Andrea?
Very
good. You got to keep your day job.
Boy, that's a challenge.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's March and madness is around us. It's not just on the court, right? Because as we all know, in like any kind of coverage business of a team, it's nonstop at this time of year and very exhausting.
Nonstop, and we love it.
Say 1986 or 1987.
I think you said 86, and it was 86. So congratulations.
It better have been 86. I'm just all over the place today. I'm looking at my notes, and it says 86, and I remember because I was watching, but I felt like I said 87. But anyway, the Longhorn women,
yes,
versus Drexel
mm.
on Friday, 2 o'clock at Moody Center. They're the top seed in their region. And we were talking about it, Andrea, before we were over at the men's, right before the women had their announcement. And CDC was like, they got to be number one. Uncle Vic deserves a number one. He calls him Uncle Vic. And so we were like, I think it's going to be Stanford. But Texas got the nod. Why do you think that happened?
I think it's because of how they finished the season. And I think my guess is that the committee wanted to reward teams that and have a number one spot that had a win at the end of the season. And Stanford, it was between Stanford and Texas, obviously. But I really think, you know, Stanford losing in their finals of the Pac-12 maybe cost them that spot, obviously cost them that spot. And I think the thing that was most interesting, though, is did you see how surprised everybody actually was?
Yes.
The video, like CDC can say what he wants. We should be a number one. Nobody actually expected it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think it was really refreshing to see the team respond the way that they did because it was genuine.
They were dancing. They were. Deanna Gaston was giddy.
Oh, yeah. She was out of control.
I love well, that.
That might be every day, but yes.
That's true. But you're right, guys. I think they were conditioned to think they were number two. And I always wonder, Andrea, if you said, okay, if they'd have gotten a number two, you know how Vic uses every little scrap for motivation. He can't do that now as a one seed. And I don't know how much difference you would thought there would have been if they had gotten a two seed this week.
I think you're right. I think Vic does use every scrap he can get for motivation, and it's a different place. You know, coming into tournaments as a underdog is a completely different thing than coming in as the front runner. But I will say this for this particular team. I actually think that this will bring them in with a lot more energy than Vic trying to motivate them with something in the locker room. I just feel like they have good energy right now. They have great leadership out there. And so it's kind of a different feel for them. But 20 years, you guys, 20 years since Texas has had a number one seed. That is crazy on the women's basketball side.
That is crazy. And like you said, they deserve it because they're coming in on a high. They just mauled their opponents in the Big 12 tournament. And as most of us know, they would at least been a co-regular season champion, if not for one very curious turnover call. And I'd heard that the league
did not travel.
Apologize.
He did not travel.
Apologized that they admit they screwed it up. Did you hear that too?
I actually didn't get into that very much because the game was actually lost in the last, not even the last minute with
yeah, like couldn't box out, couldn't get a rebound,
turnovers or offensive rebounds. But you know, in the last quarter, they gave up what a 15-point lead. So you know, you can't go back to one call and go, well, that was the reason. I mean, you could go, well, why didn't she hold the ball? Why did she feel the need to go anywhere? Why didn't anybody just hold the ball in that last minute?
Yeah, get
or,
fouled.
Or don't allow a 5'3" guard to get 10 rebounds. I mean,
leading rebounder. She is so much fun. Tot's fun. She's just like
she's
her mom.
Great. She's great. Too. But that felt like, Andrew, that felt like a soccer match. The last 3 minutes of that game was played on one end. And I was like, just get a rebound, make a couple of free throws, get your butts back to Austin with the Big 12 regular season title. It was right there to take it.
But remember last year, too, that happened against Baylor, you know, sold out arena, big game against Baylor. Hey, this is our chance to clinch outright title. And Texas couldn't get it done that day either. I think. What's interesting about Texas's women's team right now is that loss to Oklahoma might have fueled them into postseason, might have gotten their attention just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
You're right about that.
Because you know what, Vic, I mean, I'm around them, not a lot, but enough. And I know I have watched Vic where at times his team performs and they're ready to go, and he all he has to do is call plays, right? And then there's sometimes he has to drag them into the next quarter or the next half or into the next game. And I mean, I think that's what he does really, really well, is he understands the urgency of it. But I'm not sure all the players have, I always put it, they haven't lost enough to know how bad it hurts to not want to have it happen again. But Vic knows how bad it hurts and how close you can come and not bring home a title. And he brings that with him to work every day.
You know what, Andrea, and I think not having Rory on the court, but she would kick them in the butt and get them going. And you see her over there, and she's trying her hardest to motivate, but she can't play. And she, before Madison Booker became Madison Booker, Rory was the head of the snake, and now there's another snake. And I'm telling you, man, the women's tournament, there's just stars for days. Can you name five guys, five men that have you excited about the men's tournament? The men have great teams, and I'm looking forward to seeing Kentucky, and I'm looking forward to seeing UConn. But I tell you who I'm looking forward to seeing is Madison Booker, Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink. There are stars in the women's game. And how much pride does that give you as a former star yourself who played at a high level, seeing how the women have taken basically center stage of March Madness because of these stars?
I love it. I mean, I just think any of us that have been around the game a long time know that the game's always been great since, for a long, long time. Not always, but like since, the NCAA realm of women's basketball back into the AIAW days, there were really great teams. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that Cheryl Miller, or Louisiana Tech or all of those teams weren't as good as these teams today. The thing is there's a lot more teams like that. And that's what makes it, there's parity, and that's what makes it incredibly exciting. And so to watch them have sold out crowds and have people more interested in coming to games, and the Caitlin Clark effect, it's fabulous. I mean, it's so much fun to watch. And it's interesting to see how many guys talk about it these days too, which is
They're at the
fabulous.
games too. They've been coming to games. They want to see these plays. And
They're on ESPN. Visibility is all time high.
But how about COVID? I mean, COVID changed everything, I think, from it's interesting to see. It started sort of with the WNBA in social stances that they took. And people were at home and people were watching, and then all of a sudden they had to figure out how to get games to people. And so all of these internet, things popped up where you could start watching games and more people could watch on TV. And then the WNBA exploded that year and the year after and the year since. And then it's sort of just come on strong. And especially with Caitlin Clark, I mean, she has been just a star that has drawn so many people. And I think you could talk about Caitlin Clark, but I think the second best story in women's basketball this year is the freshman. And Booker's part of that. But if when you can say Juju and everybody knows who you're talking about, or you can talk about Hannah Hidalgo and everybody knows that, she's electric out there. The freshmen this year have been second to none, I think, that I've ever seen.
Audie Crooks, the big girl at Iowa
Ooh,
State, is a beast.
got skill.
She's
She's
gonna murder the game. Just wait. She has got the feet, Andrea Lloyd. She's got the touch. She can pass. She's gonna get a little of that baby weight off of her. I'm telling you, that is, she can be an All-American. She is nice. We were
Oh,
raving
definitely.
about her. She's nice. We like her.
She's a great personality for basketball
She
too,
really
because
is. She's fun. She's
she
fun.
has great fun, great personality. It's like she got into the college game and she was like, "Oh, you mean banging's okay? It's okay to hit people? Cool." Because I think in high
Bring
school, can you only imagine in high school with that body? She probably couldn't do much. I mean, she did a lot, but had to be afraid of being called for fouls all the time. Here, it's like, contact is encouraged, and she has just thrived with
Bill,
that.
and Bill is so good with her. Bill Finley's so good with her. She was struggling She was struggling against Texas. She missed her first seven, Doug. You weren't there. She missed her first seven shots, and
Oh,
she
I know.
was
I
down
watched.
on herself.
So Bill Finley was kidding her. He was
And he
teasing
had her
her.
laughing, and she went back in there in that second half and wrecked shop.
Yep. She
Yeah, that's
did.
coaching. And
It is.
I'm a Bill Finley fan. I just think he's
He's
phenomenal.
terrific.
Yeah,
And don't they have like three freshman starters?
bunch of freshmen got
Yeah.
to the Big 12 title game,
Yeah.
almost
They have
repeat.
five freshmen that play, six players that are new, and five freshmen that play significant minutes, three that
That's
start.
amazing. Let's talk about these Horns. Vic doesn't like it when we say it, but
Say what?
they're not a good 3-point shooting team.
Oh,
They're
yeah, he doesn't like that.
and he's called us, Austin Media doesn't think we can make 3-pointers, and they make 6 out of 13 in the opener of the Big 12 tournament, and they'll take that all day long, but then they only go 7 of 24 the rest of the way. I think I bet my house on what I'm going to get out of Madison Booker. She's been here before. She don't play like a freshman. How crucial are the Shays? Shaylee Gonzalez and Shay Holly. Those are the ones that can get you 3-pointers. And I know he talks about how great they are on defense, but this is an offensive tournament, and guards are so important. How important is their 3-point shooting to Texas living up to that seed and getting to Cleveland?
I wrote down things that I wanted to talk about if I had a chance to choose.
You
And
can talk about anything you
the
want.
Shays are on this list. And I think the interesting thing is, Vic right now, he has a point guard in Booker that is a, mid-range game player. Like, that's her game.
Just like
She just
KD, just like
so
KD.
great. And then he has this stable of post players, right? That are five post players that all are different. He can throw them in and out and rotate. Nobody has that. Nobody has that. So the question really is that if that's your first and second option, your third option becomes the three. So I totally agree with you on that. And my question really becomes when they run up against a team that has post players, not one like the Big 12 teams do, but multiple post players, what do the Shays do? And certainly we've seen them perform, correct? We've seen them do good things. We've seen
Yes.
them shoot the ball well. We've seen them get it to the rack, everything. But it is going to be really critical that they. I think it's going to be critical they contribute offensively. And there have been times when Gonzalez has been, Shaylee Gonzalez has been, I don't want to say she hides, but she hasn't been present. Like she
She's
isn't really,
blended. She
yeah,
blends.
she's blended.
We
That's
don't
the way
want blend, but she can blend sometimes, yes.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I agree with you. And I know Carolyn Peck said that on ESPN the other day during the selection show, talking about Texas. It's going to be important for them, not just to score, but I think, they have been the players that have been sort of the glue for Madison Booker as well. And so for them to be able to just be sort of that durable and unflappable, type of player out there with Book, I think that gives her the ability to have calmness out there and not too much pressure on her. So them to continue to be durable in the tournament is going to be important, which means play a lot of minutes, don't get in foul trouble, and produce.
Yeah, I looked that up, and 3-point Texas ranks 314th. They average 4 a game.
Yeah.
Iowa's first, obviously, 11.3 threes a game. That's their average.
One player's hitting
USC.
half of those.
Yeah, we know USC 7.5 a game. South Carolina 6.5 a game. So yeah, Sed and I worry that they're going to run into that somebody who some team shoots 10 threes or, and I don't know how many teams have multiple host players like Vic does that they can rotate. Do you know if there are many of those that have the quality that can give Texas fits?
I don't think there's a lot of them, but I mean, obviously South Carolina has
Right.
size and multiple players. Did you see that kid dunk in that game? That was pretty good. Off the bench,
Like,
a player
and it was
off the
like it wasn't a big deal. She just did it like it was warm up. And I just wondered, which one was it? It wasn't Fuali, was it?
No, Fawile is a guard. She's dynamic too. No, it's one of their bigs that comes off the bench. And I don't remember who it is,
It's like
but
six
and
five.
so
She's big, yeah.
anyways, obviously South Carolina, obviously Stanford. Those are the first two that come to mind. But hitting threes is one thing, and then defending threes is another. So the
Wow.
question to me is, will either 3-point shooting for Texas come into play at some point, right? So the Shays come into play, or will defending the three, which has kind of been, Vic's team's kryptonite at times over the years with Oklahoma, with teams that really like to push tempo and then make your post players come out and defend the three.
Yeah.
That's been a challenge, I think, at times for Vic's teams. So those, I think, for Vic, it's really about matchups. Really good matchups, I think, here in the first and second round for him at home, and they're playing really well with confidence.
Yes.
But as they move forward to the Sweet 16, I think that's gonna be interesting. I don't even think I've looked at. Here's my cheat sheets. I'm in Bloomington this weekend, so
Love it, love it, love it.
speaking of shooting threes, Florida Gulf Coast has taken. I believe they've made either 4 or 7 2-pointers this year. So their philosophy is threes or layups. So I got a team like that.
Nice
Tried some
philosophy.
threes. I tried some threes in my day, and I think the layups were easier for me.
You know what Vic will say when I talked about him that to him last week? Texas is 11th in the nation in scoring, 81 points a game. So it's, I think sometimes there's that perception because they don't, not real dependent on the three that, and they're going to struggle in the half court. They're going to struggle. Well, they get transition buckets, buckets off turnovers, stuff like that. And you're 11th in the nation in scoring, especially with that post. They just dominate in the paint, as you know. But you do worry about that one team with size or that just comes out and buries threes. So we touched on Booker. How good is she going to be? Is she going to be an Andrea Lloyd level, Cammie Etheridge, Jamie Carey? How high is she going to be before she leaves here?
Well, I haven't looked just right this second. I haven't checked my email since talking to you, but I know the AP All-American team gets announced here at 11 o'clock, I believe, and I'm expecting Booker to be on either the second or third team. And if she's
You
on the
got,
second team,
yeah.
that's pretty remarkable to be a top 10 player. And I know when we had our ESPN call to talk about the top 25 players in the nation, there were people that didn't even vote for Booker to be in the top 25. And it's not because they didn't think she was, they just hadn't seen her.
You've seen
And
her.
I think, yeah, so she's getting more and more exposure and more accolades right now. Well deserving of an All-American not nomination, but awards that she's getting.
She got a third team for someone this
Sporting
week.
News had her second team.
Was a second team Sporting News, so that's top 10. So they've obviously seen her.
It's fun. I mean, there's a silver lining to Rory getting hurt, right? So she gets to blossom and show what she's really about. And so next year, when Rory gets back, it'll be interesting to see how those two mesh together. But she's remarkable, and I think everybody's been. I remember the first few games that Rory was out, and Booker played really well. And granted, there was the loss to Baylor, but at early that first game in conference. But I think Vic came into the media room at one point, and he didn't even know what to say because I think his team had surprised him and was surprising him. I didn't think he expected them to be able to do what they're doing right now at the time, like, back in early January. And so it was sort of like, wow, can you believe this team? Like, I'm surprised too. And I think that that's the Madison Booker effect, is just her ability to constantly get to her spots. She doesn't get sped up. She's got size. I mean, the kid's 6'1" playing point guard. She has a 6'6½", I think, wingspan. Like, guard that,
He's long.
right? That is long.
And no one blocked. I don't know if her shot's been blocked this season. I don't know.
Not often. Not
I've seen
often.
like 12 or 13 games. I'm not sure anyone's blocked her shot this season.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't recall it either. But
And
and
you've
then
seen a
if
lot of games.
three,
You've seen way more than us. And for you to say it means even more.
and she doesn't hit threes yet. She'll hit one now and then, but I
That's
expect her to
coming. That's coming, man.
flourish there.
That's
Exactly.
coming. She's gonna
Exactly.
add to her bag. And I'm probably gonna write this. Don't you steal? Well, I'm. Don't you steal my column? I'm
I
writing.
might. I'm right before you.
Oh yeah, but don't you steal my freaking column. I'm
Well,
just
maybe you
telling
should
you
keep it
now.
to
I want to
yourself.
sue you. I'm trying to talk to the Longhorn legend here. I'm gonna write a column saying it would be easy to call them next year's team as far as winning a national championship, but why not now? Why not now? Because when Rory comes back and Madison Booker's getting 5 or 6 more shots a game, I mean, Caitlin Clarkson will be gone. She might be the best 2 guard in the country next season. And you got Juju, I know, but Juju's handling doing a lot of ball handling for our USC. But they could be the national champion favorite next
Yes,
season.
sure.
Absolutely.
They lose two players. One of them, Hattie, who barely plays. So there's no
And Shea
reason why I
Lee,
think they won't be a top three national
yeah,
team.
because you're gonna have Madison Booker stepping in for Shea Lee Gonzalez.
Sure.
That's an upgrade. That's a huge
Yep.
upgrade. Where
Well,
Rory
and
went down.
I think the thing is when you get Rory back, I mean, this is granted that, we've watched players with ACLs and
Might take a while. We don't know.
yeah, either it takes a while or they're never really back. I mean, I have talked to Vic about this before, but my freshman year we had 5 knee injuries and we were ranked number one at the time when went to the we were a number one seed. No, we weren't. We were. I don't even know if they did seeding that way before that at that time, but we were sent to Louisiana Tech to play. But we were number one, and then we finally ended up losing in the second round of the tournament. To Louisiana Tech on their home floor that year. But we had 7 players, and it's just, and I watched Annette, who was injured that year, obviously the all-time leading scorer for men's and women's basketball,
Smith.
was just an amazing player. 5'11", could jump out of the gym, play post for us, the five position. And she came back and she played really, really, really well, but she was never that dynamic.
Explosive. That explosiveness
Yes.
is in there, yeah.
I've watched Rory approach her rehab, and she has just attacked it, right? She has, before she had surgery, right after surgery, she's attacked it. And I think her expectation is to be back to the point she was when she left. And I'm hoping she is. That would be really, if she can get back to that point where she is just a menace and a nightmare for people on the ball defensively. It's gonna, because if you remember, Texas won early because they created turnovers and scored off turnovers. They got second chance points off of offensive rebounds. Those were the two main ways they scored offensively.
Got to be
All
you.
of that has gone down, but what's gotten better is their quarter court offense, and they've become more of a quarter court team now. And execution wise, so Vic's had to call more plays and get people to the right spots, which he loves. But I think he's going to look forward to having that team back where he has the option of having that defense that's just, what he wants, full court in your face, causing turnovers, causing problems, first and foremost.
Yeah, because Madison's the only one that really can create her own shot, Amo at times, and she's gotten better and better, as has Deanna, I think. So you got a lot of talent there. One thing I need to ask you though, we've talked about South Carolina unbeaten for second year in a row. How would a certain Texas team in 1986, which was also undefeated, fared against either of these two South Carolina teams?
Coach Conrad and I talk about this a lot, actually, because people will write who's the best undefeated team, and she will consistently say she would take our team over anybody. And I guess I have to too, but that's why we were undefeated. Like you have to have a mentality if you're an undefeated team that nobody
No
is
error, doesn't matter.
right. And like our philosophy was always, you either take it or you dish it out, and we weren't taking it. Like, and so against bigger players, against bigger name players, whatever it was, we had this mentality of a refuse to lose mentality. And I think probably all of the teams that have been undefeated have a bit of that in them, but I would take our team over any of them because I think we had that more than anybody else.
It's what made y'all great, Like you said earlier, the sense of urgency. Sometimes there'll be some lulls with this Vic team that you guys didn't have that. It was, pedal to the metal all the time, and that was driven.
It
You
was
guys were
driven
on a
because we
mission.
lost. I mean, we learned that we didn't want to lose. I mean, that loss to Western Kentucky the year before was devastating to everyone. And I think we were fueled by that. going into the next season. And I think Texas has been fueled by the Louisville loss last year.
Sure.
Early on they were, in the summer they were, but I feel like at a certain point it sort of was kind of put back there and forgotten about a little bit.
It
And
was.
but Vic hasn't forgotten, and
No, he
that,
hasn't. And
yes, and that,
you know
yeah.
those signs that he put up, 73 to 51, all over the
Yep.
place. He took those down after a few days, and I asked the Blair Schaefer, his daughter, who's an assistant coach, and said he got tired of looking at them. So, but I think that has kind of dissipated a little bit, and I forgot about it.
That's why that
I
Oklahoma
love it.
loss helps, because it kind of restores that sense of vulnerability and some urgency to hopefully all of the players and the team as a whole.
I got to ask you, for many years, I'm talking this maybe 6 or 7 years ago, if you're filling out a women's bracket, you can go chalk and you'd have a solid bracket. Those days are long gone, Andrea. There are a lot of teams that can make it to the Final Four, but I do like Texas's path. Do you truly expect them to make it? I picked them to make it to Cleveland. I think they can make it to the Final Four, but for the reasons that we've talked about, they've got to make shots and et cetera. Do you see them living up to that number one seeding and making it to Cleveland?
I actually do, and I see them being able to make that happen. I think I talked to Vic at the beginning of this even season with Rory, and I remember talking to him about, I said, this is the first time I've seen a team. I mean, yeah, Vic, you've talked about having good teams and this and that, but this is the first team I've seen that you've put together that I think has a true chance to get back to the Final Four. And I think the surprising thing, obviously, is Rory without Rory. That's the big piece that has
And
shocked
then and
everybody.
you had that conversation before Madison Booker blew up. So you got to be even more confident now.
Well, and then this time of year, I mean, I have a bracket that I filled out. We have our little ESPN challenge that we do at ESPN with everybody. But since I call games, I'm always hesitant to like go, hey, I think this person's going to win. So I never really reveal what just it's just me, a thing with me. But Texas has got that special it thing this year, and if they can stay healthy, that's and if they can have durability from their 2 and 3 player from the Shays, if Booker can continue to produce, and all he needs is two post players of the five to do what he needs. That's just such a huge key. Nobody has that stable of post players. And it's a huge advantage.
It definitely is, and it's going to be fun to watch. And starts Friday, what, 2 o'clock on Friday at the Moody Center against Drexel. It all starts and the madness begins. So be a fun ride. So is there anything else on your list that we didn't touch on that you wanted to bring up before we say goodbye?
Lost my list. I thought we were going to
Well,
talk about farm stuff and growing up, but that's okay.
let's see, hey, before we go, we got about 2 minutes. She grew up in Moscow and she's not Russian, Duck. She's not Russian. She grew up in Moscow, Idaho. And we're all descended of country people. We are, these three. But I think she may be countryer than both of us put together. What was the typical day like on that farm in Moscow,
Well,
Idaho?
I grew up with my grandparents, and my grandfather was kind of jack of all trades, master of all trades. So he was a carpenter, but he was also a rodeo guy and a veterinarian and all kinds of other things. And so, typical any given day, you might see, well, we always had to go out and milk the goats at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m.,
Goats,
which,
not the cows, the
yeah,
goats.
we had goats. We had horses. Obviously, we had horses because he was a rodeo guy. So that was, just the normal day-to-day feeding the horses, going to get Eagle, the horse that always escaped, things like that at whatever time of the day. Just normal farm stuff, getting the eggs. I think that farm growing up on a farm is great for responsibilities and teaching you really good habits and caring for other things. So I love that. You and I were talking about the hunting element of it too, because we would have they'd go elk hunting, and we'd have a couple elk hanging from our front, tree that was huge. And we'd package and freeze our own game. So yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Mike, I
Are
was
you
telling her, Duck, if my dad told me when he was growing up, if they didn't pull it out of the creek or shoot it, they didn't eat that night. So that's just how it was, man.
Hey, well, I know you're a good shot at Texas. Were you a good shot on the elk too, Andrew?
Oh, I'm not much of a hunter, but I love to fish any day. That's what Vic and I talk about mostly is fishing, share fish stories, fish pictures, that kind
You
of thing.
still
He didn't give
fish?
out much of his trade secrets, though. He's very protective. I
You
have to.
still do you still fish, Andrew?
I do. Yes, I just started fly fishing recently, which I love.
It's
Have you ever
hard.
deep sea fished? Well, we spend most of the summers away from this heat in Texas, and we go up to the Pacific Northwest. So different rivers up there, different places. And then I fish usually in Alaska. I grew up in Alaska as well. So
Nice.
spend a lot of time in Sitka, Alaska when I can make it up there.
You need to go to Jackson Hole and fish the Snake River. It's a hard thing to do, though. It is.
It's great. It's nothing like fishing. There's fishing and then there's catching, right? So we all know the difference. One includes more beer.
Nice.
Which is the
Well,
fishing one. Catching includes actually catching.
I'm gonna blame Kirk Bowles for taking 330 episodes of this podcast
Oh, it's
to
always my
get you
fault.
on here. You know Andrea Lloyd.
Her agent wouldn't let us get to her. That's
I
what
just
it
know
is.
her from Facebook. I've never gotten to talk to her at a game, and that's your fault for not
Yeah,
introducing us.
everything is. Well, now she's a regular. She's going to be on like three times a season. So she
There we
better
go. Now
book
we're
it in the
talking.
calendar.
Now we're talking. Make that happen, Kirk. You make that happen. Because when you were covering her, I was in high school. So,
Oh,
yeah,
stop it. Stop
we'll
it. So,
get.
what game do you got, Andrea? What game do you got?
I'm in Bloomington. I have Indiana, who's been, pretty good. They had a couple of Sweet 16 appearances 2 and 3 years ago. And let's see, who do I have? I have Florida Gulf Coast. Like I said,
Yes.
layups, threes, and free throws. Fairfield, Mike Tebow, who coached in the WNBA, his daughter coaches there, Carly
They're the
Tebow.
Stags.
Yep, the Stags. What a name.
Yeah.
Stags. And then I have Oklahoma. So get to
You
see
know
Jenny
about them.
secondhand.
You know something about them. So yeah.
Excellent. Well,
But we
we'll
think.
get you back on if the Longhorns progress, if they're in that Elite Eight, we'll reset, we'll redo this thing.
The
Because
more Moscow stories.
I believe the men will be I think the men will be gone by then. I mean,
Don't be hating.
I'm
Be
just being
hating.
real. I'm just
Get a
being
hater
real.
like that.
I'm just being real. Where do you have them on your bracket, Balls? How many games you got them winning?
Andrea, thanks for being with
That's
us.
what I thought. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
You don't know about March, man. You never know.
We had Rick Barnes on before you, so yeah. So he's homering up for Slick Rick for sure.
I
That's
do
his
like my Rick Barnes, that's for sure.
That is
That's
his boy. But hey, we appreciate it, and stay warm in Bloomington, and we'll run this thing back hopefully in a couple of weeks.
awesome. Thanks,
All right,
guys.
take care.
Thank you. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Duck, spring football is upon us, and of course, it's on Second Thoughts. We got to talk about spring football, and they gave us 20 glorious minutes to watch them stretch, blow, hear a few whistles blown, and then they threw us the hell out of there. But
I think it was more like 30 minutes.
was
It
it
was,
30?
I think it was. It seemed
No,
like forever.
it was 20. You were just ready to go. It was 20.
No, I love spring football. You're the hater. You hate it.
You know what? Sark was very excited about spring football, and you asked him about Quinn Ewers. What did you think about Quinn?
I thought he looked great. I think he looked more defined in his body shape. He looked bigger but leaner, if that's possible. More muscle on him. He looked
Bulkier.
more like a great college quarterback should look, I think. I don't think he ever had the look of a, obviously an Arch Manning or even Trey Owens, the freshman quarterback there, but he does now. And boy, he had zip on the ball, and you and I both saw him connecting on deep routes, which
He
is had to get.
threw it, Doug. He threw it better than Arch.
He did. He looked good. And yeah,
He
Arch was a little
did.
bit off his game a little bit, but Trey Owens the freshman looked bigger than Arch. He lifted 6'5". He looked all
He's
of that.
Huge. He's big. He's big. And you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited about how Quinn has looked, and he just looked more in charge of it than he's been. And of course, he's another, season removed. So check out this conversation that Duck had with Sark about the quarterback.
How's Quinn look to you? Is he body shape different, and how do expectations ramp up?
Yeah, I thought I think Quinn looks good. You know, I mean, his body, we went from where he was a couple years ago to slimming himself all the way down last season to, if you look at him, he looks a little broader now this year. And I'm hopeful we can maybe get, 3 to 5 more pounds of just strengthening him up that way. I thought Quinn played really confident today, and had good command. And, a little different for us, for Quinn and I this year, is my ability to talk to him through the mic. And we started practicing that today. And I think having 2 years of experience of working together and now having that dialogue through the headset, I think is going to be beneficial for us.
The headset thing's pretty interesting. I see it going. It's going to get cleared, and hopefully one day they can remove those ridiculous signs. But besides that, Duck, you hear a coach that's very confident in his starter, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And like he said, the dialogue should be crisper, cleaner, faster, because, he's been in the system now. This will be his third year. And this will be his fourth year in college.
Yeah, he's a man now.
The one redshirt year, it was at Ohio State. So he's just comfortable, and I think Sark's comfortable with him. And, I think he's really going to take his game to another level. I mean, shouldn't he be the premier quarterback in college football coming back?
Yeah, all the other ones left.
Except Alabama's.
yeah, they left. And so I think Nussmeier at LSU, he lit it up in the bowl game. But he's going to light it up without those great receivers. So, I think he's going to give Quinn a run for his money, nationally speaking, as far as the guys that we know are going to start. But I just think it's going to be fun to watch Quinn as a senior.
Yeah.
He's no longer a kid now. As a senior in control of a team that's expected to do some really good things.
Yeah, Georgia and Alabama have a couple good quarterbacks on their roster too. And
yeah, of course.
Milroe at Alabama, so we saw him up personally. And the other thing I noticed is, man, they got a lot of receivers, Sid. And
I love Matthew Golden. No relation. I'm going to ask him if we're related. If he's got some Texas blood in him, and I know he probably does, we're going to find out about that family tree. There aren't too many Goldens. There aren't too many Goldens.
He's really good, and I think he's going to be electric as a kick returner, punt returner too. I mean, all those receivers were fielding punts, from Jonte Cook to DeAndre Moore to Ryan Wingo, the 5-star freshman, Parker Livingstone, the 4-star freshman.
Isaiah
Bond looks smooth. He's going to be the alpha dog. I think he's going to be the
A.D. Mitchell.
Or the A.D. Mitchell. It's like, who's got the great hands? If we haven't seen Silas Bolden from Oregon State, he's not here yet, but he's more of a slot receiver. But, if I just looked at the talent and the athleticism, they ought to be fine. This is about building a rapport and a connection with those receivers and building some chemistry.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the thing that I wanted to talk to him about was, vetting these guys, these new guys. You got the culture the way you want it. Instead of listening to me stumble about how it went, I'm just going to play the conversation I had about that with Sark.
You brought in some really good football players, transfers. You built this culture the way you want it. How hard do you vet these guys? Because they're veteran guys that have been other places.
Yeah.
To make sure they fit into what you're trying to sell here.
Well, I think that's probably the biggest challenge of the transfer portal. The high school kids, when they come in, and I'm going to get to that. I'm going to answer that. But the high school kids, when they come in, we've been recruiting those high school kids for a year, 2 years, 2.5 years, right? I mean, think about how long we've been recruiting Colin Simmons, for example. And so you know so much about them and what their makeup is. The portal's very unique because these guys go on a portal and sometimes 4 days later they're on your campus on an official visit. And so we really have to be diligent in doing our process of getting to know them, tapping into the right people that have worked with them, whether it was high school coach, trainers, you know, sometimes their own coach from the school they're coming from, to make sure that they can fit in our culture, that they will thrive in our culture. Because we just don't want somebody that's just going to survive. We want people that are really going to thrive in this environment. And so far, you know, a couple months into this thing with these guys being here, it seems really good. You know, Andrew Makuba is awesome. You know, he's wired really well. He's a great team guy. Amari Nyblack, Isaiah Bond. I mean, some of these guys have been really, really good. Trey Moore has been unbelievable of what he's brought. And so, you know, I credit our recruiting staff. I credit our coaches for the work they've put in to find the right blend of players. And some of them, yeah, sure, there's been a little bit of a transition, but then they look at it and they really enjoy it. I was talking to Isaiah Bond today halfway through practice about how much he enjoys now practicing in the morning and waking up every day in the morning. He's like, man, I almost feel more fresh. I feel better. So you never know what a guy was at one place. Maybe we can even get a better version of him here.
He described it to a T, Doug. He described it to a T. He's got his culture in place, but now he's got to fill in those pieces and he's got to make sure he's got the right chemistry. And you can't fake chemistry. Either you have it or you don't.
And you're right. They can only vet him to a certain extent because, like he said Tuesday, you know, he'd been recruiting Matt Golden for a long time and had a relationship with him, same as he did Xavier Worthy. Remember, he was recruiting Worthy out of California when he was at Alabama and trying to get him to be Crimson Tide. A wide receiver, so he already had that bond, that foundation. You know, he didn't so much with Isaiah Bond, and so you never know completely. It's hard. And well, I asked somebody, I said, "Well, who do you think are going to be the starting defensive tackles?" He said, "They're not here yet." And I went, "Ah, okay." So they'd be vetting defensive linemen every minute of every day, I think.
He just has to, man. He just has to. Yeah.
Duck, what a great podcast. Jam-packed today. Rick Barnes gracing us with his presence. So nice of him to stop by on the biggest week of his coaching season. Longhorn legend Andrea Lloyd dropping knowledge on us. All over spring football as well. We're going to have a lot more on that, and we're going to continue to cover this madness. Hopefully the Longhorn teams can make a nice run in the tournaments and don't bloody up your brackets too much. That's going to do it for episode 330 of On Second Thought. Special thanks to our guest and our producer, Chandler Hoffley. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.